plunged me. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. He plunged me to victory. Hallelujah. I'm going to add one verse to my text. While you're standing, turn to Ecclesiastes 3 and 11. Amen. Appreciate any visitor we have. Sister Evelyn, also good to have you back in service. If you wasn't back tonight, I was going to send a group of ladies out to chase you down. Hallelujah. This wise man, Solomon, wrote this book, and he wrote the book of Solomon, and he wrote the book of Proverbs, but this one is the book he wrote, and it's called The Preacher, and it's kind of one of those just common sense books, and it's wisdom and common sense. Do you know common sense is the best wisdom you can ever have? Do you know that? You don't have any common sense. That's the basis of all wisdom, is just good old common sense. And so he writes this in Ecclesiastes 3 and 1. He said, to everything there is a season. Everything. Say everything. Not something. Everything. There is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. For everything there is a season. And when there is this season or time, there is a purpose for that season and time that you go through. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, this is after the day of Pentecost. And 40, 39 and 40. And the promise is unto you, this is the promise of salvation, is unto you, to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, everyone say with me, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Do you know it's very difficult to save someone else unless you're in safety first? People that throw life preservers out to people that are drowning are not people that are drowning. Right? Think about it. The first thing you have to do is save yourself. Get the knowledge yourselves, and then I can reach and help you. But I can't really help you till I first do a very selfish thing. Save myself. And I want to talk about this for my title tonight, A Time to Be Selfish. Be selfish and sin not. Be selfish and sin not. God, I come before you tonight. Hallelujah. Help me with this sermon to get people to understand the importance of saving themselves before they even try to save anybody else, lest they be lost too. Glory to God. Guide us through this. Open our ears and our understandings to the wisdom of this word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. There is a time for everything, the book says. No one has to teach your children to be selfish. It's part of that dominating thing. No one has to teach a dog to be greedy. It's a selfish thing. I have two dogs that act like they love each other. You throw one bone out there and you'll find out how much they love each other. Same thing can be true in a church. We can say, oh, I love you so much. You let the right situation come up, we'll find out how much you love each other. And so you don't have to be taught, because selfishness is a mode of survival. It is the way that we survive. It is me first, then you second. And selfishness teaches us to take care of ourselves. And do you know there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself? Sometimes people try to take care of other people when they first need to take care of themselves. And they don't take care of themselves, so how can you take care of somebody else? And there is a danger that we develop if we're not careful, called bitterness, a state of bitterness where you do so much to help somebody else. And you know, after all I did for them, after all I gave them and all my time and all my money that I gave them, Lord, it looks like they'd treat me better than that. Well, did you have a selfish motive as to why you did that? Because they didn't treat you? You see? You see? So what was the motive behind it? I'm going to do this. So Jesus said, when you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but he said, when you have a party, call not your friends and call not your relatives. Call the halt, the blind, and the maimed. Why? They can't do anything for you. But we give our good stuff to people that say, oh, thank you so much. We give our bad stuff to people that can't do anything for you. That's what it is. It's a selfish motive. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. But we get this bitterness because we help people so much, and then they didn't serve the Lord, then they didn't do all these things, and now you've got something in your heart that's very difficult to get rid of. But we need to find a level of selfishness that is not ungodly, and it does not lead to ungodliness. We have to find a level of self-care, self-interest, self-preservation, that we can sustain ourselves so we can better serve others. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Solomon says that there is a time for everything. There is a season and a purpose under the heaven. And it's interesting that the first thing he says in this bunch of things he says for time, he says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. So he gives us, and the word of God is much like that. When Jesus gave parables, it was extremity on this way and extremity on that way. So that he would be sure you fall between the two extremities. Okay? And so there is a time to be born. That's that coming in. There's a time to exit. That's that going out. And he goes on to say, and I'll read a few of these to you, that, because I want you to see the extremities in these comparisons. There is a time to plant. That's that beginning. There's a time to pluck up that which was planted. That's the ending. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. Wow. A time to weep and there is a time to laugh. There's a time to mourn and a time to dance. There is a time to cast away stones, but there's a time to gather stones together. There is a time to embrace, and there is a time to refrain from embracing. There is a time to rend, but there is a time to mend or to sow. A time to keep silence, but there's a time to speak. There is a time to love, and there is a time to hate. A time to war, and a time of peace. But the one that got my attention for this sermon tonight is this one. A time to get and a time to loose. A time to keep and a time to give away or to cast away that which you have kept. There's a time to say it's mine and there's a time to say it's no longer mine. There's a time to be selfish and yes, there's a time to be unselfish. And we've been taught so much against selfishness that we have felt so guilty if we do anything for ourselves that sometimes it has been the downfall of some people. And I'm not saying any perhaps of you tonight, but maybe in the future, you have to be careful. We read the one where Jesus told the man to sell all of his goods and give to the poor. And you say, well, I haven't done that. Maybe I need to sell out and go give to the poor. Okay, you'll be poor with them. What was wrong was his heart. His heart was with, that was his treasure. So it's always the motive when you read anything, it's the motive behind it. And there's a time for you to keep what you've got. And there's a time for you to give what you have kept. And the secret behind this time of selfishness and sin not is the motive and not the act. It is the motive and not the act. I think tonight that any one of you that have children or loved ones, you would want to give them even your life, right? You would want to give them your life, your substance, or anything that you have to help them. But you can't give what you don't have. Just like I said in the beginning, you can't, if you're drowning, you can't really do much to help someone else that's drowning. But if you are saved or in a place of safety, then you're a world of good to that person. Believe it or not, life first has to come about in us, and we first have to have and sustain our own lives before we can give our life to anybody else. We've quoted the scriptures many times. I quoted it last sermon. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. But I ask you tonight, where is the kingdom of God? Where is it at? It's in you. It's not up there. It's in you. So it's telling us we have to take care of us. You better take care of yourself if you're ever going to help anybody else. Because that kingdom of riches, of peace, and of joy is in you. And if you don't have peace, and you don't have joy, and you don't have long-suffering, how can you give that to somebody else? And so what kind of lamb did they offer in the Old Testament to they give the priest to offer? You know, they bring their lamb to the priest and say, offer this for my sins. What'd they do? Go get the one out of the North 40, the one that was kind of crippled and one that had diseases on it and all of that? No, they really did a kind of a selfish thing, but it was an unselfish thing. You got to understand. It was unselfish in that it was the best they had. It was selfish in that that's what saved their soul. That's what saved their soul. They were interested in being saved. So they groomed this lamb. They purified this lamb knowing this is the one I'm going to give. I am going to do this for myself and for my family because I want them to be saved. I'm not going to give God my second best. I'm going to give God my best because I want to be saved. How many of you want to be lost? No. So we have to give God our best. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. That's a very selfish thing, but it's being selfish and sin not. Christ gave himself. What kind of sacrifice, Brother Douglas, would Christ have been if he would have had all kinds of diseases and leprosy? And if he would have been a leper himself, he was dying anyway, so what kind of sacrifice that? But I'm here to tell you that was a 30-year-old and 33 and a half when he gave himself, healthy man. He was in pure good health. I believe with all my heart he took care of himself so that he could be a lamb that was spotless and take away the sin of the world. My. Christ said this. He said, no man takes my life. I give my life. And I want to give my life for my children. There's a time to be selfish and there's a time to be unselfish. And if I could for a few minutes, I want to dig deeper into this thought. And tonight is just the life applications, right? If you should have been here Sunday morning, you'd have got your rally sermon Sunday morning. But tonight is life applications. Being selfish in a godly sense is when you build yourself up, not in a prideful way, but in a meaningful way. In a meaningful way, so that you have obtained a sustaining level where you're capable of giving more than you could have if you would have not kept yourself up. Am I making any sense? And there are days and seasons of time where you have to help yourself so that you can have the ability to better help somebody else. Lord, I don't mean nothing by this, but if we're all struggling and we're all financially strapped and we're all, how's the kingdom of God gonna? But if you flourish yourself, then the kingdom of God benefits from you flourishing. But you're going to be blessed because you're taking care of yourself. And I want to show you this. This is very interesting. And I can always give more if I have more to give, right? That's what we all say. If I just had this, I'd give it to the church, right? Well, God knows your heart whether that's true or not. When we look at the parable of the 10 virgins, I want to show you this at a different angle than I've ever looked at it. Selfish and sin not. When we look at this parable, there were 5 foolish and 5 wise virgins. They all had the same opportunity, but they didn't all have the same results simply because they didn't have the same amount of oil. Let's get down to what was lacking. What was lacking was oil. Oil. What was lacking was oil. And in this parable, they were all virgins. They all slept, right? They all heard the cry, "The bridegroom cometh," at midnight. But only five of them had enough oil to finish their journey in the allotted time. Watch verse 3. I feel like I got a bug in my head. It's better. There he was. See, there he was. Not a louse, though. That's singular for lice, in case you didn't know. Matthew 25:3. "That were foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps with their lamps." So what is the difference here? Oil. A little more oil. You know, might break down. I ought to bring a little extra spark plug. This might break down. I might ought to bring another propeller. This might go, you know, it might get dark. Better have a flashlight. It's preparation for the unknown. And while the bridegroom delayed, didn't expect that to happen. How many of you face things in life you didn't expect to happen? But I'm here to tell you, if you're prepared, you say, "Whoop, I'm ready." But if you don't have the flashlight and it gets dark, you're in the dark. So the difference is a flashlight. And so these five had their vessel and they had their lamps. They had extra oil. So when the cry went out to go out and meet him, they all arose and they all trimmed their lamps. And verse 8 says, "And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out." Well, I was taught to share. I was taught to give. And I was taught we, you know, prefer your brother over yourself. And I was taught that, you know, you should let your brother have before you. But the wise, it said the wise. The wise answer said, "Not so. Not so. Lest there be not enough for me." Selfish. And sin not. I'd love to help you. I really do. I love you and I care for you. But if I'm going to make this thing, I can't give you what I got. I got maybe enough to make the journey myself. Because the most important thing is not sharing. The most important thing is being saved. And if I share with you, I might be lost with you. And neither one of us make it. It's not my fault you weren't wise. We all had the same opportunity. It's amazing how two people can find the same thing and turn out so different. Two people find the cross, and to one it is mockery and they laugh at it and it's foolishness. To the other is salvation. Said, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. It was a time to be selfish and sin not." The only thing the wise gave them was advice. That's it. But while they were out looking for a place to buy, the bridegroom came. And I hate to say it this way, but I've got to be selfish with my soul. I'm sorry, I've got to be selfish. I may not be selfish with my money, I may not be selfish with my time, but there's one thing I am selfish with, and that is my soul. I cannot spend eternity with you if you don't want to line up. If you don't want to go, if you don't want to carry enough oil, if you don't want to pray, you don't want to obey. I cannot be entangled, and I'm going to go further and deeper in the world over losing my soul. There are three patriarchs that's mentioned in the Bible. We'll all know them. They were the ultimate survivors of their day. The one that was mentioned was Noah. He survived a flood because he was righteous. His children just kind of were blessed that they had a daddy named Noah. And the Bible says that he was perfect in his day. amongst a wicked and a perverse nation where their thought was evil continually. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, listen closely, that Noah moved with fear to the saving of his own household. He was selfish with his soul. I'm going to do whatever it takes for me to be saved. And he saved his house through obedience. He moved with fear and built an ark when the Bible said it had never rained before. Oh, he built it on dry land. You fool, you. What are you doing? I'm just doing what God told me to do. Well, who are you going to save with that boat? Me and my family. You can build a boat too if you want to. I give you the plans. It's right here. But I can't be lost because you think I'm a fool. I can't be lost because you don't want to help me. And he survived the flood. And the Bible says in the end, he got off the ark and made peace with God. And he was saved. This other survivor that's mentioned is Daniel. Daniel was a survivor in his day. He survived the decree of the king to worship no other god before me. And when the decree went out that said anybody that prays to any other god than the god that Nebuchadnezzar served, he will be thrown into the lion's den. And what did he do the next day? A very selfish thing. He opened up his doors and prayed, the Bible says, as he had done before. Why? He didn't want to be lost. He knew it's more important to be saved and die with the lions than it was to not die with the lions and go to hell. And so he moved too with fear to the saving of his own self. The other survivor that the Bible speaks about is Job. And this is a whole book about a man who survived more than any of us have taken put together. If we put all of our losses together in this community, in this service tonight, we would not match Job. And Job had integrity. He said, I can't be lost. Okay, naked came I into the world, woman, and naked shall I leave. It is certain that I brought nothing into the world, and it is certain that I will bring nothing out of the world. I will just trust God and die, but I'm not losing my soul over you or my friends or anybody else. This is between me and God, and I can't afford for you to influence me to say something I shouldn't say. I'm selfish, I'm sorry, I'm selfish, but I can't afford to be lost. So that when we read in Ezekiel, it puts these three patriarchs together. Let's look at Ezekiel 14 and 4. Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart. Now, this is going to be tough. You might get some squirm room if you're sitting close to somebody because you may need to little room, because he's setting up idols, not before him, not an image of something before him. It says he sets them up in his heart. It's the ones you can't see. What is an idol, my friend? It's anything that takes away from the image of the living God. Anything that will perish is not of God.